My dear brothers and sisters, it's a great gift that we can gather together, united through this radio broadcast from WNOA. Grateful that we can share in God's word and the power of this Eucharist in that fashion. Oftentimes when I'm celebrating Mass, I kind of imagine the saints and the angels who are always present, try to imagine them joining in our liturgy as the heavenly liturgy touches down to earth. And now with all of you missing, I'm imagining your faces and where you usually sit in the congregation, remembering and imagining the little children who are often in the large families crawling around in the front pews and scooting across the floor. So remembering with joy all of you and looking forward to the day we can gather physically again. But God's word for us today is really encouraging us, I believe, in the special challenges we're facing. And in the story of Lazarus, several things we can highlight to hear. What is the Lord saying? In the gospel, you notice that Jesus is given the message that his friend Lazarus is very ill, but he purposely waits to go there. He knows Lazarus will die, and yet he doesn't go right away. And he tells the disciples with him that it's better for them that he's waited. That will help them believe. And also, he says, the sickness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God. And mystery of the Lord allowing that just points for all of us, this mystery of this pandemic and other challenges that we face, how the Lord at times can allow certain things to happen that are not good in themselves, but because he is going to bring a greater good out of them. Sometimes that greater good we get to see in this life, and other times that greater good will only know an eternal life. But the mystery of the Lord allowing that to bring the glory of God and to bring his own disciples to deeper faith. And so we want to trust in that. Can we trust that the Lord can bring and wants to bring a greater good from what we're going through? I know that many have remarked that even in this suffering of not being able to gather publicly for Mass, a sense that when we do come together again, we'll appreciate this gift of the Eucharist all the more. And I hope for that, I trust in that. So that's the first thing we might take to heart from the gospel. Secondly, in this gospel appears the shortest verse in the whole Bible. It's the verse where it just is two words, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. It shows us in the humanity of Jesus the great compassion and love of his Sacred Heart. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary are his close friends. He loves them. And even though he knows he's going to call upon the Father to raise Lazarus, Jesus still weeps. It's a beautiful sign to us again of how the Lord, even as he allows certain things, even as he is with us, he shares in our sufferings. He weeps with us. He weeps over the mystery of death. He weeps over all the different consequences of sin. And so Jesus is with us in our sufferings. He shares in them. So his compassion is so clear in the gospel, eh? And next we see as Jesus comes to Lazarus and he meets Martha and Mary, first of all. He brings forth the faith of Martha. Lord, I do believe you are the Christ. And then they roll away the stone. Jesus calls Lazarus by name to come forth. The tomb, enclosing him, brings him forth into a bodily resurrection. But it's not the fullness of the resurrection that Jesus has won for us yet, hey? Lazarus comes forth, called by name by Jesus. But we know that this is a more like a resuscitation. eventually Lazarus will die again. And so it's a reminder, the Lord's resurrection is a much greater gift. When Jesus rises from the dead, he'll never die again. And that's the fullness of the resurrection he's won for us. One day when we die physically, and we're in a tomb, when the Lord calls us by name, he's going to help us receive that fullness of eternal life, our body and our soul joined together and our bodies glorified. That's the real victory he's won for us. But Lazarus' resurrection is a foreshadowing, and it shows the Lord's power to do that. It's a reminder, too, that bodily death is not the worst thing, but the mystery of deadly sin is an even greater problem. What good would it be to have physical life but die in mortal sin, right? And so again, Jesus comes to our rescue by the mercy of confession, the mercy of reconciliation, to raise us from spiritual death. And even though we're limited somewhat now on offering confession, which is a real suffering for me, I love being able to be a confessor as well as penitent, but we can turn to the Lord in our hearts, making a good act of contrition, and the Lord knows our situation, so he can lift us up. And when we do have confession available again, we can tap into that power that raises us from any spiritual death. The Lord strengthens us. And he's also shared that power to literally raise the dead with the saints in his church throughout history. It's an interesting book written by Father Albert Hebert entitled Saints Who Raise the Dead. And in that book, he documents true stories of 400 resurrection miracles in the lives of the saints. And we know there's some right in the New Testament, where in Acts chapter 9, verse 40, Peter raises Tabitha from the dead. In Acts 20, verse 12, Paul raises Eutychus from the dead. And the apostles and other saints continue that mission of Jesus. Among those who raise the dead are St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Paul of the Cross, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Martin of Tours. St. Francis Xavier is one of the greatest missionaries who died in 1552, and there are several accounts that were part of his canonization process that verified he had raised the dead or called upon the Lord to do that. He was beginning Mass in a small church in Combachure, and a crowd entered with the corpse of a boy who had been drowned in a well. The mother threw herself at the feet of St. Francis, who had baptized the child. Francis said a short prayer and took the child by the hand and called him to rise, and he did. So again, it's beautiful to see how the Lord has shared his power with his church through the centuries to give us hope and give us courage to pray and trust in the Lord. And lastly, we might see the detail when Lazarus comes forth from the tomb, he's still bound in the burial cloths, right? And Jesus says, untie him and let him go. He speaks that to those gathered around. Can we see in that the call for us to be part of the Lord's work of mercy by reaching out to others who may be bound in different ways, be it different bondages of sin or fears or anxieties, illness itself? Can we be part of Jesus' mercy by reaching out to them, helping them find new freedom by our prayer, by our acts of mercy, by our friendship? Even now, we can see certain things that are the hand of the Lord touching people as we see acts of charity and mercy throughout the world, helping people in the pandemic, healthcare workers who are risking their lives and sacrificing to care for the sick, just all different ways of parish members reaching out and different ways that we're sharing again in evangelization the Lord's mercy and goodness. So we can be part of Jesus' action by untying others who may be bound, and allowing the Lord to work in us and through us. And so as we celebrate this Eucharist today, the Lord is calling us by name, even as he called Lazarus, to rise from whatever might be binding us, be it fear or anxiety, our own weakness, to trust in his power that he can bring good out of all things for those who love him, as we hear from St. Paul. And that again, he wants to give us the fullness of life forever one day. We taste the beginning of that in the Eucharist. And as you receive spiritual communion, those of you who are listening, trust in the Lord's power to meet you where you are today, to call you by name, to rise to new life as we trust in him.